Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Tuesday's here, and I don't know, it may be cold outside where you are in December, praise God. Well, we live in Texas, you know, like somebody said, you like don't like the weather in Texas, wait around a few minutes, it'll change.
Yes, sir.
Father, we thank you today. Oh, my. We bless you, sir, and we praise you for the blessing, not a blessing, the blessing of the Lord, brought into our lives through blood covenant. And we praise you, and we thank you. With our faith, we reach into the heavenlies to bring divine revelation from heaven. Words that cause heaven to move upon the earth. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Professor Greg Stavins,
thank
everybody.
You, sir. It's an honor.
And for those of you that are not aware who the professor is, he teaches Kenneth Copeland Bible College. Can you imagine that? Kenneth Copeland Bible College?
Yes, sir.
I ain't even been to school much
less. Sir.
Well, they say I'm old school, you know, I'm old. And I did go to school three or four days. But, but I never dreamed in my wildest dream, man. Anyway.
And we have our first graduating class out there now.
Yes.
And it's an available voice, Brother
Copeland. Know, it's fun. It's fun. I've been in graduations before, but I've never been in that role. I didn't really know what to do. I said, well, I'm learning. Yeah, help me. Oh, yeah, I know how to do this next time.
It was such a blessing to watch you during that. Go from tears to smiling.
Oh, man.
It was just wonderful to be part of it.
It was just...
And you know, you've got people now that have graduated that are going out and pastoring churches all across America, South Carolina, Louisiana, different
places.
Well,
Greg, back in the 70s when the Lord said to me, very indelibly, I just branded it on my spirit, I am coming so soon. It was just bold, almost audible to me. It just shook me. I am coming so soon. I want this uncompromised message of faith on every available voice. Whew. Back there then, you know,
Radio,
three channels on television,
yes, sir,
and the printed word. Well, since then, of course, it has just grown and grown and grown. And when this was my daughter Terry's vision, a long time. I didn't know it. She never had said anything to me about it. And I'm right in that place where, Lord, I'm not doing anything till I hear from you. This wasn't my idea in the first place. So, what about this? And we were in that boardroom, laying hands on you guys.
I remember.
And it hit me. Every available voice. This one goes on and on and on, should Jesus tarry, on and on and on.
It's a continuation of what Jesus told his disciples that day.
Yes.
Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's exactly what's happened. They're spreading out from here now, the revival capital of the world.
Yes.
And spreading out with the message of the blessing. And faith, you have a covenant with God.
And right
with with the anointing.
The first step out of the box. And that big wind hit down there in New Orleans. KCBC pastors down there became the church That was the church that we used as headquarters.
And they're sitting right here. And they're sitting right here with us today.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, praise God.
From that first graduating class.
First graduating class. Praise
God. But see, God did that. They came here out of obedience, went there, and they were already positioned for that nasty hurricane to hit. Yeah, he had already moved them to that position, coming from here with the anointing ready to go. We had a place for our teams to go to. This is
now that's what blessed me so much, is you have to have, you've got to have a contact point that's believing God just as much as you are. Mm-hmm. Because if you're going to get in agreement with somebody, they need to be somebody that can agree.
That's right.
Thank you, sir. Praise God. And the better half of him, thank you very much. The reason I didn't recognize it, because I'd never seen your face. I'd never put the two together.
Well, they're sitting apart in here. I've
seen you in class, but I didn't put that together with this. And who'd ever thunk you'd have been here this morning? I don't know.
But God. Because it's all part of our covenant, and that's what that school is.
Yeah, now I'm talking to Ken Jr. Kenneth Hagin Jr. Of course, Kenneth Hagin founded Rhema Bible Training Center.
I'm a graduate.
And I have a 1975 first graduate ring, because I didn't know it at the time, but the tapes that I was studying night and day were the ones he used to build the first curriculum of Rhema. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. That first graduating class, they had a ring for me, and whoa, look at this, praise God. And 1975. And now, I was talking to Ken, he said, so many churches now have schools and so forth. But he said, Kenneth, Rhema International, he said, it is still just growing and growing and growing all over the world. Well, where do you think KCBC got its idea? We got that from Kenneth E. Hagin at Rhema Bible Training Center, and I was there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he reproduced himself, and now the Lord has blessed me with the privilege of doing the same.
Amen. It's a God thing. It's a biblical thing.
Covenant thing.
Yes, sir, it is.
Everything we do in the Word of God is all covenant wrapped. We are in covenant with one another because we're in Jesus together.
Yes, sir.
Being strangers from the covenants of promise is one of the biggest problems the whole body of Christ mm-hmm. has. But we're no longer strangers.
No, we're not.
We have some understanding about it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, we do. For most Christians, I talked about this yesterday, that Jesus didn't come to start a new religion. He came to restore that relationship, that covenant relationship, and the blessing that goes with it. You got to understand something now. You're not Jewish, but all Jews trace their ancestry to Abraham, but you have been tied to Abraham as well, because Abraham believed God by faith and was accounted unto him righteous. Can I show you a verse?
Please.
In Isaiah 51?
Oh, I love that.
Isaiah chapter 51, verse 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. Then now, see if this applies to you. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. Well, now I do that. I follow after righteousness, so this is me. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock which you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit which you were digged.
Did you notice it said, here, Ken? So I'm hearing you.
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's good. Amen. Ye that follow after righteousness. Verse 2, look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone. Look at this. And blessed him and increased him. So I've been grafted. Galatians teaches us this. Paul spends a ton of time in the epistles teaching us this. I've been grafted in to this covenant of mm-hmm, Abraham, mm-hmm. even though I wasn't born of it in the natural, mm-hmm. I've been grafted into it. Now, the Jew knows that he's blessed and increased. That's what's expected of him. But the Christians lost that. We allowed religion to steal that from us. But he says, I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. Abraham is a descendant of Noah's son, Shem. Mm-hmm. You can find that in Genesis chapter 11. In Genesis 14, he's the first person to be called a Hebrew. Hadn't happened.
Now, prior to that. What do you think about that? Because of that book's very strange to us. We don't think like this because we're way, way, way thousands of years over here on the other end of it. But Adam and Abraham were just a few generations
apart. Oh, absolutely right. They all overlap each other. Yeah, absolutely. So Abraham knew Shem.
Yes, sir.
And Shem would have known, I want to make sure I get this right. I think Shem knew Adam, or at least he knew Adam's son, Seth. That's something.
Yes, it is.
To see that.
Shem is the one that became Melchizedek.
Yes, sir. King and a priest of Salem. Yes. And so, but they're related to one another. And you see that, he's a descendant of that in Genesis chapter 11.
That's the reason covenant between them was no strange thing.
Not strange at all.
And when he came to him with the bread and the wine.
It's a picture of what's going to happen with us.
Well, and he knew exactly what he was doing.
Exactly what he was doing. Yes, sir, he did. Wasn't strange at all.
No.
And this is why he realized the blessing comes from God. It doesn't come from the king of Sodom. And he'll lift his hand and say that, I lifted my hand to the Lord. And it's a serious thing.
Boy, it is.
It is a serious thing. So he's living, Abraham is living under a covenant of, he gets his own covenant with God, but he's living under the covenant of Noah, be fruitful and multiply. Think about that for a second. He's still under that. That's, God told Adam that, he'll tell Noah that after the flood. Now you be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. It's the exact same thing. And then it'll come now to Abraham. Until Genesis 12, the Father calls him and adds an everlasting element to him. See, God will call him now and add a new thing. This is an everlasting covenant I'm making with you. With Noah, it was a land covenant as well, the whole earth. I won't destroy this earth again like I did. But now with Abraham, it starts to refine from your seed. See, it's now coming to a family, and that family will become a nation by the time of Moses. And then there'll be a land aspect to this. Everywhere the sole of your foot treads, you know, this land is yours. This is why you can't ever separate the Jews from their land.
That's right.
You just can't do it.
No, you can't.
Because to do it is to fight God. Genesis 12:3, I will bless those, plural, that bless you, and I will curse him. It doesn't say those. Everybody always says, I'll bless those that curse you, and I'll bless him that those that bless you, I'll curse those that curse you. It doesn't say those. I'll bless him that curses you, singular. There's only one source of the curse. It's Lucifer.
Boy, that is powerful, Greg.
It's Lucifer.
I never noticed that.
Well, can we just put your eyes on it? You got to see it. Instead of me just telling you about it, Genesis chapter 12. And this is when he tells him to get out of his country, from his kindred, from his father's house, verse 1, the land that I will show you. So there's the land first time. Verse 2, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee. See it?
Yes, I do.
And in thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed. There's only one source of the curse, and that's Lucifer. It's saying it right there. So if you're against Israel, you're on the wrong side.
Of everything.
Yes, sir. If you're against, I'm going to say this, Christians, believers in faith in Jesus Christ, who is the promised seed of Abraham, if you're against the church, if you're against the Jewish people, you're siding with Lucifer,
absolutely,
according to Genesis 12:3. Because there's one source of the curse.
So he actually said, I'll bless you if you bless him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'll stop him who tries to stop you.
That's absolutely right.
I'll stop him.
Yes, sir.
If I have to kill him, I'll stop him.
And we see that play out all throughout Scripture.
Yes, sir.
Who was it? The guy tried to curse the children of Israel, and he couldn't do it over and over and over. Balaam. Tried over and over and over. He couldn't curse. He tried. He tried to come against him. Finally, he's about to lose his life over it. And, the donkey talking to him. Angel ready to strike him down.
That's really when the revelation of it came to me and to my family, just powerfully. Long as I walk in that blessing, you can't kill me.
That's right. That's right.
Now, if I get off of it and start wandering around out there, then I'm subject to the same thing the rest of the world's subject to. But you can't kill me. And it's amazing to me how many times the devil tried, particularly before I had sense enough to know God, out there running from God and acting like a fool. Mm-hmm. Now, at this time, I was born again, but it hadn't been but just a little while. I came down to demonstrate an airplane to a man. And so he was in the left seat. He was a pilot, and he was in the left seat. And I was in a little 250 Comanche, which is very fast little airplane. It gets fast really quick. Well, I mean, he pushed the power in, and in one motion, and he's coming back on the yoke. With one motion, he raised the gear. Mm. Now, it was a bright day, and I could see out the right-hand side over here. I'm in the right seat. And I just grabbed the yoke and yanked it up because he's sucking the gear out of this thing. And right then, boy, my mind is just racing to what is going on here with this. And I could look out the right, and I could see the nose gear hadn't retracted. Mm. So and I went through the emergency gear procedures, nothing worked. Mm. Nothing would work. Well, I learned later why. It bent up part of the gear, and it wasn't going to go up or down either one. It was just stuck. So then I told him to just keep his hands off everything and took off and just flew around checking this thing. I called the tower and told him what I'm doing. Well, there wasn't any way to fix it. I saw that. Mm. So I had to put this thing on its belly. Now, you don't get to practice that, you know?
No, yeah.
So I didn't know what was going to happen.
Wow.
And we had full tanks of fuel. I didn't know whether we were going to have a fire. I had no idea. But you know, Greg, there was not 1 second of fear.
Mm.
Not one. Now, I didn't know then about the word of faith what I do now. But I was believing God. And I had no fear. And so we got let that thing down, because I just held it off just as long as I could. Reached over and unlatched the door. I thought, well, I don't know how much control I'm going to have over this thing. But you could see what the devil had planned.
Yes, sir.
He was really working at it. If that guy had been just a second or two quicker and she'd have gone right in on her nose, I don't know, because with full power, mm-hmm. it could have flipped and that'd have killed us all. Mm. But as it's scooting on its belly down the runway like this, and I had pulled I shut off the engine, and the prop went ding, ding, and then it didn't do this, it stopped like this.
Mm.
So it's just scooting down on its belly. There's a lot of sparks going
everywhere.
So, man, it starts doing this. Well, I just shoved that rudder in. And, man, and then I straightened it out and just screeched and screamed and hollered until it came to a stop. And when I turned around, there was a fireman standing there looking at me. Mm-hmm. Not 1 second of fear.
Praise Not God. One.
Had two passengers in the back seat. And everything's all right.
Praise
Praise the Lord.
Now, that scenario had started happening when I was a little boy. Mm-hmm. All kinds of stuff happened to me like that. Got bit in the belly with a water moccasin and all that kind of stuff. But here I sit.
There you are.
Because I had a praying, blessed mother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And he tried.
See, Lucifer doesn't know on any given individual. He'll see the anointing on somebody. He'll see that blessing. And he tries to take it out. But he comes for the word's sake.
That's true. Said,
to take, okay, if I can stop you then, this all doesn't happen. But he can't do that because we walk in. This is why knowing that Abraham is our father, we're in that covenant, that the blessing is just natural for us. It is so vitally important for a believer to understand that. And then that's how you operate out of no fear. It's just, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? I'm going to heaven.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not going to happen today, Mr. Devil. That's not going to happen today.
Craig, back before I had an instrument rating, and I was doing something I knew better than to do, but I did it anyway. I was scud running and trying to stay below the clouds. And finally I saw, this thing's dangerous. And so now I'd had enough instrument training I could manage the airplane, but I couldn't shoot an approach. So I just set up a climb, got right up on top at 7,000 feet, and it's bright, and that white blanket up there. And like today, man, I love that, but boy, back then, I didn't love it. So immediately I called flight service. I told him what the situation was. And he said, can you shoot an approach? I said, no, sir, I can't do that. So he said, and we went through all these procedures and everything he asked me to do, I knew how to do. Mm-hmm. So, I could feel fear coming up my legs. Mm-hmm. And it got to the place, if I didn't talk out loud, that fear would keep coming up my legs. And I knew if that ever got to my head, it'll kill me. And so I really didn't know exactly what to do. I followed his instructions. Anyway, to make a long story short, I'm tracking the radial outbound with southeast of Saxton, Missouri, VOR, and I'm looking for a hole in this overcast, and I saw it right over the river. Mm. I saw this hole, and so I dropped the gear on the airplane and went down below. I could see down below it, so I just continued that descent till I was below it. And just as that river, I turned to follow the river. Mm.
There was
a crop duster strip right there.
Right there.
And the guy's farmhouse sitting right there. Glory to God, man. I just shut down and right over that guy's house. And he came out there. Well, of course, you can tell, you know, sure, why I was there. We're about out of town, but here's the point. I got on the ground. He said, my airplane's not here. Just put yours in the barn. Got the stuff, walked out the back door of that hangar. You couldn't see as far as from here to that far.
Praise God. My, my.
Boy, he tried me again.
Yes, sir.
And didn't do it. Because I'm blessed.
You're blessed.
And we're out of time.
And we're out of time.
Come on, Jeremy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Praise
the
Lord.
It is wonderful.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Papa. You know, Jesus came to restore the covenant relationship, and it's because of Him that you and I have a covenant with God. And today we saw how our covenant of blessing protects us from harm. Brother Copeland shared a personal story. He said, as long as he walked in that blessing, the enemy couldn't kill him. When we live our lives in and through our covenant, it keeps us on the blessing side of life.
It's just been a really tough season. Sometimes I just feel like I'm not doing it right.
Man, I completely understand. But we don't have to earn what Jesus has already purchased for us through His covenant. We just have to receive it. You see, because you're a Christian and know your covenant with God, you know the blessing is for you. You don't have to question it.
Often we're aware of God, but are totally unaware we have a covenant relationship with Him. Join Kenneth Copeland and Professor Greg Stevens in this 25-session series no longer strangers from the covenant of promise, as they study the unfolding of God's covenant with us through Jesus. Available on DVD or MP3 disc. The life and sacrifice of Jesus fulfilled and restored our covenant relationship with God. Through that covenant, He's promised us redemption, healing, prosperity, protection, and wisdom. All we need to do is receive it and activate it by faith.
Unlock the secrets to obtaining the promises of God and walk in your covenant benefits with confidence. Request your free 25-message teaching series, No Longer Strangers from the Covenants of Promise, at kcm.org/victory offer. Available on DVD or MP3 disc and digital download. Offer good for 60 days. Outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
I am excited to announce the release of KCM's newest teaching series, No Longer Strangers from the Covenants of Promise. This is a 25-message study on your covenant with God. Kenneth Copeland and Professor Greg Stevens bring the Bible to life, revealing the heart of the Father for you. And in this, you're going to learn the significance of what Jesus did at that covenant meal, who was Judas, and the prayer that Jesus prayed for you. And I encourage you take one message a day and watch it or listen to it. Take notes on it. Meditate on the Word. And when you do, you're getting to know Jesus in a way that you never have before. Now, this is the first time this product is being offered on the broadcast, and it's absolutely free. So get your free copy today on kcm.org. And you can find faith-building resources right there on KCM's website. Make kcm.org part of your everyday study time. You can search by topic, and there you're going to have access to Word-based materials that you can watch, you can listen to, you can read, you can download, and of course, you can share it. And you can feed your spirit with the Word of God every day, and you just keep growing and growing and growing in faith. That's what this ministry is all about. That's what that website's all about, to help you grow in your walk, your fellowship, and your friendship with the Lord. Now, tomorrow, I want you to join us right here again on the broadcast, because Brother Copeland and Professor Greg Stevens will be right back to teach us to turn on the power switch by speaking the blessing by faith. These teachings are so valuable. These are things that will enrich every single day of your life if you'll listen to them with an open heart and an open mind and let the Holy Spirit do the teaching. And when He does, your life will be changed forever. Thanks so much for joining us today, everybody. We'll see you again next time. Until then, remember, God loves you and we love you. And Jesus is Lord.
Today's Believer's Voice of Victory was brought to you by the faithful partners and friends of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Go to kcm.org/victory offer to download or request your free copy of today's broadcast. Continue to grow in your faith in God and believe Him for new visions, His manifested power, and great change in your life.